This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right, 202, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to the Super Bowl in a little bit. We still got 3 hours to play with. I do want to talk just a little bit about baseball. Obviously, yesterday was the Pete Alonso day as he signs the 2-year, $54 million deal, $30 million this year, $24 on a personal and a player option next year that I don't expect to get picked up. And then there were some reports that he was offered 3 for $85 and turned that down in lieu of the 1-year deal, which I do agree. I think Pete's better off taking the contract he took. He's going to make $30 million this year, and I do think he'll be able to opt out and get a long-term deal next year, a longer term, 3-4 years. And even if it's at $22, $23 million, when you add that up, including this year, the bump you're going to get from making 30 this year makes the contract relatively close, or even, you know, more than the $85 million he would turn down. So I think Pete did the right thing, but what you heard, the report of the meeting, is really, it just speaks to me, the owner really stepped in and made sure he got Pete. And he made sure, and I didn't talk about this too much yesterday, I really do think the fans had a lot to do with it. So while you scream and yell, like Sal did, and I understand why, about booing the owner and booing David Stearns at the Amazing Day. And again, I don't think they booed them. I think they booed the response to the Pete thing. But whatever the case, the fans there, at least. I think Steve Cohen went there, even though he knew that the Pete Alonso thing would be a talking point. I think he expected celebrations. The great year last year, they signed Juan Soto. And he's going to Amazing Day, and he's hearing boos? I think Amazing Day had a lot to do with it. And that's when the owner decided, you know what, forget this. Let's just get it done. And he wasn't going to give Pete whatever he wanted, but he was going to be willing to move. I think prior to that, they weren't willing to move. I think the reaction from the fans at Amazing Day surprised them. Like, it surprised a lot of people who are mad at the fans for booing. I think it surprised the owner. It surprised him that he had to step in and start to answer the question for David Stearns and just say, hey, wait a minute now, you're not being fair. Like, we're working on it, but like, I'm not sure they were willing to cave. And I don't think cave's the right word. I don't think they were willing to move on the contract offers until that happened. And then now there's reporting that there was a meeting. And Pete let his unhappiness and how things were going. You know, he vented. They talked it out. I think Pete needed to talk to the owner because, look, I don't think this is unreasonable for Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso hit 50 home runs as a rookie, broke the rookie record. Pete Alonso's been their best player through all the losing. Pete Alonso connected a relationship with the fan base to the point where they're booing at Amazing Day about this. Like, Pete's been the Met guy. Pete hit the biggest home run of the year and played well in the postseason. Even if Pete came to the understanding that the 6-7 year deal wasn't going to happen, he just wanted some love, for lack of a better term. He wanted some understanding that he's wanted. He never wanted to go anywhere else but be a Met. He wanted to be a Met. He wanted to get paid, of course, but he wanted to be a Met. And ultimately, he wanted that feeling reciprocated. He wanted, even if the negotiations were tough, even if the Mets weren't giving him what he wanted, I think he wanted the feeling of, hey, the Mets want me. We're just negotiating because it's a business. He got the same feeling that I got and a lot of us got, that the Mets didn't want him. So I think a lot of it had to do with that Saturday where they got booed. And then I think it was, all right, let's show Pete a little bit of love. And they had the meeting on Tuesday, and that meeting on Tuesday went well. And apparently there was some acknowledgement of, okay, yeah, we want you. He wanted to hear that from his owner because he didn't want to go anywhere else. And again, I think that killed him. And I think free agents are going to start to understand. I'm just saying, I know they're completely different players. But after the final game for the Yankees, Juan Soto met the media and said, I'm open to everybody. Pete Alonso, after the season ended, said, I want to be a Met. And look how it went. They moved heaven and earth and did it. Now, again, Juan Soto's a much better player, and the market was much more expansive, and the Yankees were involved and willing to push him all the way to $765 million. So I understand it's a different situation. But Pete Alonso, at 30, declining with a qualifying offer and picks attached to him, and the idea that every single other team in baseball figured he really wasn't that interested in joining them. He was going to take whatever offer they gave him and shopped him around. They didn't want to be used, and I think that hurt him. And in the end, he just wanted a little bit of reassurance that he's wanted. And they showed it to him by giving him $30 million a year. They didn't have to. I mean, this year, it's a one-year deal, so it's not the contract he was hoping for, I'm sure. But he's the highest paid first baseman in the sport. And they didn't have to do it. And that's why I want to applaud the owner, because the owner's got plenty of money. Right? We know this. And I'm not saying make bad deals. There is no such thing as a bad one-year deal. They just gave Pete Alonso a one-year deal. There is no such thing as a bad one-year deal. They could have given him $35 million for 1 year. It's not a bad deal. It's 1 year. But eventually, I think the fans had a lot to do with it. The owner stepped in. I don't think this is a David Stearns deal. This is a Steve Cohen deal. And he went in there and he wanted to show Pete that he wanted him. And if he was gonna only take a 1 year deal, he paid him the most in baseball at the position. And I think that ends kind of the animosity. Pete has something to lean his hat on. Now he's got to have a good year and go make more money next year. But I think everybody involved won. And I want to applaud Steve Cohen because I've been getting on him because I've been waiting for him to do this. I wanted him to go in there, show Pete love, give him a little bit, and get the friggin' deal done. That's what I've been saying. That's the only criticism I've had. Is that what they did? I wanted them to do sooner. I know, you know, it was never like, oh, go give him $40 million a year, or go give him whatever he wants. It was, hey, Pete desperately wants to be a Met. Just make him feel wanted. And give a little bit. And the owner stepped up and did it. And again, not to harp on it, but I bet you David Stearns probably isn't thrilled with giving him $30 million a year. But it's 1 year. And they paid him more than they had to. But that's exactly what they should have done. And now they move on, and we can get into the lineup constructions, which, by the way, I'm sorry. I don't know what the Mets are going to do. I can't guarantee you how the Mets will view it necessarily. But me personally, you can put the lineup a bunch of different ways. If you don't have Lindor 1, Soto 2, you're doing it wrong. Like today, and I know this is just Twitter, who knows how the actual fans feel necessarily. You can call me up and let me know, 888-808-1019. But I saw a million different people. We talked about last night, Frank the Tank had Soto hitting cleanup, which is mind-boggling. But today, I saw a million different lineup suggestions for the Mets. Everybody, that was like the fun thing to do today after the Pete Alonso signing, was to like put out what you thought the Mets lineup would be. And I can't tell you how many dopes out there have him hitting third. I get the idea that you could put Vientos 2 and get him pitches in front of Juan Soto. I suppose I understand that. I understand that concept. Let's get him fastballs. Nobody's going to walk in front of Juan Soto. Juan Soto's best attribute is getting on base. Juan Soto is a very good power hitter. He'll hit 35 home runs, somewhere in between 27 and 40 home runs Juan Soto will hit for the Mets. He's got pop, power hitter. Hit the 3-run home run to send them to the World Series. That's not his greatest attribute. Driving in runs, not his greatest attribute. His greatest attribute is making pitchers work, owning the strike zone, and getting on base. Pete Alonso hits the home runs. Pete Alonso drives in the runs. Mark Vientos, I think, will prove to be a home run hitter and drive in runs. I want a starting pitcher to have to face Lindor and Soto right off the bat of the game. I want Soto taking pitches for Pete Alonso and Vientos to see, and I want him getting on base. He'll hit his home runs. He'll do what he does, but his greatest attribute is on-base percentage. Get on base in front of these guys. You don't think it'll help Vientos getting up with two runners on and Pete Alonso behind him? Judge benefited greatly from him in front of him and nobody behind him for a lot of the year. Soto hits second, plain and simple. I think anything else is overthinking it. Soto second, and then you could do whatever you want third. You could do Vientos third. You could do Alonso third. Then you could do Alonso fourth, Nimmo fourth, whatever you want to do. The rest of the order, I could make an argument for a lot of different things. 1 and 2. Lindor, Soto. 888-808-1019. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, Shemek. How you doing, man?
All right, I'm okay. The voice is kind of struggling. But what do you got?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, so, look, I'm just relieved this Pete saga is over.
Yep.
I was actually called up Keith a couple nights ago. I said, you know, in this city, it feels like we spent 2.5 years nonstop Rogers talk, and we got the Soto for a couple months. We segue to Pete, and, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is for the better part of a year and a half, 2 years, however long this saga has been going on, it always felt like a Soto or Pete type situation, and it was kind of mind-boggling given the fact that when Cohen first took over, it was basically felt like anybody and their mother, whoever we wanted to sign, whoever we wanted to trade for, was going to be a Met. Cohen would let it happen. You know, obviously, Lindor right out of the gates, and for a couple of years, it kind of felt like the Soto or Alonso was going to be, you know, reality. And so the fact that Pete, albeit, like you said, on a 2-year, realistically a 1-year deal, if he, you know, we all expect him to opt out after this year.
Yep.
The fact that we did bring both in kind of is shades back to what we thought Cohen would be when he first took over. So, and you brought up the lineup, man, you know, that 1-2, that 1-3 punch of Lindor, Soto, Alonso, however they configure it, but most likely going to be Lindor, Soto, Alonso, 1-3. That's as good of any top three as there is in the league, besides maybe the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers is better, but besides,
yeah,
I would, because
They're the anomaly.
Yeah, I mean, they're the Ohtani's incredible, and Freeman's better than Alonso, and it's. But other than that, you're right. I mean, I'll take it further. The 4 and 5 through Vientos and Nimmo, that's as good a top five outside of the Dodgers as there is in baseball. I agree. I mean, the lineup is very, very good. And you're right. If you would have gone into the offseason or at the start of last year and said, next year we're going to bring in Soto and keep Alonso, I think people would have been like, really? He's going to do both? Now, the Alonso contract came down to a one-year thing, but I think right now, I mean, that is probably even better than expectations heading into this year. I mean, they let a couple guys walk, right? They let DeGrom walk, and then they were willing to trade and eat money, but you knew it wasn't going to be like they had a down year. They didn't go crazy on spending money. They didn't treat the pitching staff like it was a year they were trying to compete for the World Series. They ended up getting a great pitching staff, but like the way it was handled for a year or two, you knew they were going to go hard for Juan Soto, but the idea that they would just continue and make sure they brought back Pete, you have to be thrilled now. Thrilled.
It's funny because, you know, and Stearns, and look, I'm one of the first people that'll get on the Mets specifically. You know, this time last year, that's the one reason why I have faith going into this year in terms of the offseason, where obviously Soto, Pete, the headliners, but the rest of it, I mean, bringing in Clay Holmes as a starter and, you know, the kind of the lack of rotation depth. But I can't get on Stearns given what this team looked like last year. We didn't even know the year Severino would have. Same with Manaea. I mean, he basically got outcasted as a reliever. So this team looked 10 times worse last year. So all I could do was happy. But it's kind of funny, too, with the, you know, I brought up the rest of the offseason, Stearns kind of getting called cheap again. But even with the money they dished out for Soto and then bringing Pete back, you know, the Soto stuff, they weren't the you know, front runners until about like 24 hours before the signing. I think I saw somewhere they were dead last in the negotiation, and then obviously how long it took to bring Pete in, it felt like he was a Blue Jay for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I think the Cubs or somebody was in the mix. So they were really never really the front runners on either one of them until like leading up to the signing being official, and yet they still landed both of them.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Ross. I don't think that's a fair statement about Pete Alonso. They were always in the lead for Pete Alonso. There was not another team that made a significant enough offer where Pete even considered. Like, you might be, I don't know what the offers were. We don't know. We didn't hear any publicly, you know, leaked or anything. So when you say there's you know, there's a chance that there was a legitimate offer on the table that in the moment was higher than what the Mets had offered, but they were never not in the lead or in control of this negotiation. Never. Because Pete wanted to be a Met. I think obviously Soto would have went anywhere. So up until the last 3 hours, I mean, you know, all the reporters, which make you sick to your stomach if you're a Yankee fan, all the reporters said they went to dinner thinking it was going to be the Yankees and left dinner thinking it was going to be the Mets. Like, it was a couple of hours. And even Steve Cohen has said they did not know it was going to, they did not think it was them until they got the phone call. So that one I agree with, but Alonso was always a Met. He was always a Met. It was never going to go another way. And I got confused for a while. I bought into the stuff. Plus, I do this every day. I have to give my everyday opinion. So there were certain days where it felt like, oh man, this is destined for a divorce. I even had Jeff in Manhattan tell me it's written in the stars because Pete's Mars was sitting on top of David Stern's Saturn, and it just wasn't going to work out. I hope Jeff calls back and tells me what happened. Maybe Saturn flipped, or Mars got stuck on a ring. Or maybe he's confused and Pete's a Jupiter. I don't know. But whatever the case, it clearly was Pete never considered another team. Anything you heard about being at the deadline or at the goal line or whatever is posturing by his agent. Which, by the way, I don't know why I feel the need to defend or come to the aid of Scott Boras. Because I really don't care. In fact, I took great joy in all his L's last year. But I think it's unfair to call this an L for Pete Alonso. Or at least for Scott Boras. Scott Boras was not his agent when he turned down the contract extension. And sure, did he probably tell Pete or promise Pete, he was going to get better than he got? Of course. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he told Pete, I'll get you this, I'll get you that. But ultimately, the market wasn't there. Pete didn't do himself any favors by having the down year and then making it obvious he wanted to be a Met. And in the end, he got paid better than any first baseman ever. On a one-year deal with the opportunity to hit free agency again next year. Like, once Pete's market collapsed, and again, I don't know what Scott Boras could have done to not have that happen. And once he went back to the Mets and said, I'll take a three-year deal, the minute Pete said that, the minute Pete went to the Mets and said, I will take a three-year deal, I don't think he could have done any better. I think 30 for one is the best possible outcome for Pete Alonso. So, did it annoy us? Did it go on too long? Did he help create ill will between the player and the team? Maybe. But ultimately, do I think that Scott Boras cost Pete Alonso money? I do not. Do I think it was a mistake to hire Boras? I do not. Do I think he does a better job and get more money with another agent? No, I do not. Maybe another agent tells him to take the 3 years, $80 million or whatever we're finding out now the Mets offered. So technically that'd be more money, but not in the short term. And possibly not in the long term, because I think next year he's going to do far better. So I keep seeing, Scott Boras got Pete the best deal he could get him. Brianna in Brooklyn. Hey, Brianna. Hello? Brianna, you're on the Fan.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hey, love you guys. Listen to you guys every night at work. I'm at work right now. Listen to you guys in the mornings. Big fans.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. I just want to, I know you guys were talking about Pete Alonso.
That's all right. We were talking about Eli. You could go back to the Eli conversation.
Yeah. But definitely not an L for a Pete, all right? Definitely not. Eli, I just need to say he definitely is a Hall of Famer. There's no question about it at all. Like, he's the only person to beat what everybody calls the GOAT, you know, Tom Brady, as they say. Like,
right.
It's just nothing else that needs to be said.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for the call, Brianna. I think beating Tom Brady twice and once to stop an undefeated team. I mean, the 72 Dolphins, if they still, I haven't seen that recently. Do they still get together and drink champagne? Or have they switched it to Ensure? I haven't seen that, because typically they get together when the last team loses. I don't know if I've seen that. I didn't see it this year. Fleeks, do you remember seeing that anymore or no? When's the last time we saw the 72 Dolphins get together and drink champagne when the last team won? We didn't see them.
I would have guessed pre-COVID.
Probably, right? I don't remember this year was
Kansas
City.
We haven't had a ton of teams stay undefeated until super late in the season, have we?
Yeah. No, this year I think the Patriots were 9 or 10. I mean, not the Patriots. Lose my mind. The Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs
and I
were
don't
like
remember
9
seeing
10.
It this year.
No, definitely not. Last year, I think, when did the Eagles lose to the Jets last year? What week was that?
Week 6.
Yeah, was it only week 6? I think they were the last team that hadn't had a loss. So yeah, that was very early. So it's been a while, but still, I thought they celebrated whatever it was. We need to get, I mean, they literally were able to keep the party going because of Eli Manning. I do think that's more warranted than 10th, or not in the top 10, 11th, with like the likes of Luke Kuechly, who, again, excellent player. I'm not trying to deny Luke Kuechly's ability. Great player. Rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, great player. A little bit of a crazy maniac hitting people, you know, headbutting people with no helmet on and stuff. He's a maniac, but had to have a short career. He's not more of a Hall of Famer than Eli Manning. Even if he was better, even though if he won a defensive player of the year and Eli Manning never came close to an offensive player of the year. Eli Manning won 2 Super Bowl MVPs. Plain and simple.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your official station to talk New York Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:32. See, the voice sounds all right coming out of the break. Drink a little water. Cough and clear my throat a little bit. It's the 10 minutes from now where you'll be dealing with the raspiness. But to continue our baseball conversation for a second, the Yankees had a little bit of news too. One, in actual baseball news, a beat reporter for the Cardinals has reported that Nolan Arenado, or at least, you know, the Cardinals have re-engaged the Yankees on the idea of Nolan Arenado. Now, I've got the feeling that they didn't necessarily want, you know, they haven't been in on Nolan Arenado. I don't know how they feel about it, but I would think at this point, and Brian Cashman did an interview we're going to get to in a second, on Yankee Hot Stove and addressed third base, and really didn't give much to say. you know, said the team is never fully competent, you know, never complete, but they feel, you know, a certain way. You know, they can live with the guys they have now and, you know, always make additions at the trade deadline or whatever else he said. He didn't really give any answers on it. But I think at the moment, considering Yan Moncada just signed with the Angels for $5 million, I don't know if Rengifo is a possibility. To me, the best available option left for the New York Yankees is to get Nolan Arenado. That's what I would be pushing right now. Because I want to be good defensively. And I know the offense is more important. I've always felt that way. I still feel that way now. But this team has leaned into being athletic and better defensively. And right now it kind of feels like it's either what they're going to do right now and stick with possibly Oswaldo Cabrera, DJ LeMahieu, or Peraza, whatever it's going to be. Or Luis Arraez. And as much as I think Luis Arraez helps the lineup and gives them a definitive leadoff hitter, he's just terrible defensively. And if you have Jazz at third base and Luis Arraez at second, the defense just stinks. So I don't know if they're how serious they are talking about Nolan Arenado, but the Cardinals beat reporter is reporting that the Yankees and Cardinals have reengaged on Nolan Arenado talks after it seems like it's broken down with Boston. So we'll see what happens there. But that wasn't the story that came out yesterday. Yesterday, as I said, Brian Cashman did an interview with Bob Lorenz and Michael Kay on Yankees Hot Stove and made some comments about Gleyber and last year. And he was asked about, I think it was like Jazz and where do they want to play Jazz at second or third, and he talked about playing it both. And I could see that. If it's DJ LeMahieu at third base or Oswaldo Cabrera, like I could see the idea of when Max Fried or Carlos Rodon is on the mound, you could play your better defender at third base. And when a right-hander's on the mound, then you can play the better defender at second base. You can move them around a little bit, but when asked about it, he said he brought in Jazz last year to play second base. But Boone wanted to go another way because Gleyber Torres refused to move. The plan was to bring in Jazz and move Gleyber over to third. Boone decided to do it the other way because Gleyber refused to move over to third base. So it's something we kind of knew. It's not news. Because Gleyber Torres flat out came out and told the media that he did not like the idea of moving to third base and told the Yankees as such. So we've heard this before that the first plan was to move Gleyber to third and he didn't want to do it. But now this is the general manager after Gleyber has left the team and signed with the Detroit Tigers. In an interview on Hot Stove, I don't know about going out of his way because I think he assumes it's not, he thinks it's public knowledge, but it's going to create a story when you say Gleyber Torres refused. Like, we knew he was asked and we knew he didn't like the idea. But you could spin that into they had a discussion and ended up deciding against it. Gleyber didn't love the idea, so you know what? Boone went a different way. But when you say refused, well, now you're saying he was asked and he said no. And Gleyber Torres has responded and made it a story. Gleyber Torres put out a tweet saying, "This again? Let's just turn the page," with a laughing emoji. So Gleyber heard. Gleyber's tired of it. Gleyber doesn't want to talk about it anymore. Now, let me just say this. One, it's not a great look for the general manager to be saying this stuff. It's very similar to the injuries are a part of his game comments he made last year about Stanton. Very similar. We all know it to be true, but it feels counterproductive. It feels petty. It feels like something that doesn't need to be said. But the reaction to it from the fans is what's bothering me. Because I agree, Cashman looks petty. And I guess it looks bad for Glaber, too, because now he's not denying it, and the general manager just told the world he flat out refused to move to third base. He said, absolutely not, I'm not moving. And because the fan base despises the general manager and despises the manager, so much of the fan base despised the manager and despised Brian Cashman and despised the operation and despised how things are done. This has been another excuse to get on the Yankees and say they should have moved Gleyber Torres. Oh, so wait a minute. You ask a player to move to third base and he says no, and you just say, okay, there you go. There's Aaron Boone for you. Letting the players run the place. Doesn't care. Oh, sure. You don't want to play third? You don't have to play third, buddy. That's okay. Hey, it's okay. Why do we have an organization that, you know, you want to play third? You want to play third? You go play third. First of all, I think that's patently ridiculous. They did the absolute right thing. First off, just in results, from the second Jazz came here, Jazz was a top 10 third baseman in OPS plus. And after the trade, Gleyber Torres was a top second baseman. A top 10 second baseman in OPS plus. Both of them performed. Both of them performed. It worked out. That's the first thing. The first thing is they were successful doing it that way. But if you think they should have forced Gleyber to play a position he didn't want to play, I think you're out of your mind. If you think the manager should have said, no, Gleyber, you're doing it. You're moving to third base because I'm the manager and I told you so. And you are going to force him to go play third base. When Jazz is willing to make the move, I think you're crazy. Because they needed Gleyber Torres to perform offensively. They needed him. And I don't know if you remember what happened in 2020 and 2021 when they put him in a new position and moved him off second and gave him shortstop. But not only could he not play shortstop, and by the way, I have no idea if he could play third. But not only could he not play shortstop defensively, his offense went to absolute garbage. He was, the two worst years of his career offensively were the 2 years they asked him to play shortstop. In the middle of the season, when he doesn't want to do it, do you think moving Gleyber, the kind of guy who gets impacted by his names being brought up in trade proposals. Like, that's the kind of guy you're dealing with. A sensitive guy, a guy who constantly needs to be built up, a guy who constantly needs to be told to hustle, a guy who gets all sensitive when his name gets brought up in trade talks. That's the kind of guy you want to force to go play an unfamiliar position from him when you need him in the middle of the year to be your offensive player. And by the way, he was. He had a great last 2 months of the year and was without question their third best hitter in the postseason. Stop looking for excuses to blame the freaking organization. Stop looking for excuses to blame the manager. Gleyber Torres didn't want to move. Gleyber Torres said no. The idea they should have forced him to play third base and possibly jeopardize him becoming productive offensively. I'm not saying it definitely would have, but we saw what happened the last time you tried to move his position. His offense went to crap. Go look at his numbers in 2020 and 2021. They're the worst years of his career by far. Gleyber's not good defensively. There's no guarantee he would have been successful at third base. And then, like, and I think John Boy does a great job. Big fan of John Boy and the Talking Yanks podcast. But he does a video, and he's like, oh, remember in the playoffs when Gleyber couldn't field that throw from the outfield at second base? And it led to Ohtani going to third for the tying sacrifice fly? And then remember the fifth inning of Game 5 when Jazz Chisholm couldn't field the ball thrown to him from Anthony Volpe, and it led to runs and the demise of the Yankees here. Remember all that? Well, as if that wouldn't have happened. As if we know for a fact the worst second baseman in the league would have suddenly been able to make plays at third base. Or never mind the fact that we don't know if Gleyber Torres would have been able to be the productive leadoff hitter and third most important offensive player if he was forced to play a different position. Like, come on. Come on. Cashman shouldn't have said it. It makes him look petty. It makes the organization look bad. I wish he wouldn't have said it. But the idea that the Yankees are at fault because they didn't force Gleyber Torres over to third base is just stupid. It's just not true. Aaron Boone's job as the manager is to determine whether or not he believes the player is capable of doing it. It's up to him to decide and know the players and decide whether or not Gleyber Torres is going to respond to me forcing him over to third base, or Gleyber Torres won't respond if I force him over to third base. It's not about ego. It's not about having a iron fist. It's about what you think will make the player most productive. And they watched him become as least productive as he's ever been when they asked him to change positions in 2020 and 2021. And when they asked him again, why do you think he said no? Why do you think he said no? He said no for one of two reasons, and maybe both. He said no for one of two reasons. One, he's thinking like I'm thinking, and the last time I tried this nonsense, my offense went to crap. And two, I'm a free agent, and I don't profile as well as a third baseman as I do a second baseman. Those are the two reasons. One is extremely selfish in the idea that, hey, I don't hit enough home runs to profile as a third baseman, and moving forward, I need to be a second baseman to make my numbers justify the kind of contract I'm hoping for. And the other one is a little bit selfish, but it's about his production, which is ultimately what's beneficial to the whole team. And Aaron Boone was 100% right not to force Gleyber Torres. Do you know what you do when you have a player like Gleyber Torres who's terrible defensively anyway, who doesn't hustle, who you've had to talk to a million different times, and who now refuses to move positions? Do you know what you do with that player? You don't force him to do anything he doesn't want to do, and then when the season's over, you tell him goodbye. And that's exactly what the Yankees did. That's exactly what the Yankees did. They said, oh, you don't want to go to third? Okay, stay at second. You better hit. And he did. And then they said goodbye. The Yankees handled it exactly right. Exactly right. This is the dumbest talking point. People get so upset about absolutely nothing. I don't understand it. Because just look at the results. They were both top 10 at their position offensively. And Jazz fielded the position fine. He wasn't very good, but you're going to tell me Gleyber would have been much better? I don't see it. Ian in Astoria, what's up, Ian?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
I've been listening to you about for the past 2 hours. I'm enjoying it. I've been very much enjoying it.
Oh, thank you.
So I wanted to talk about two things, maybe three.
Sure.
But I wanted to talk about the Pete Alonso thing, and I'm just glad that he's back, and I'm glad that he sticked to the Mets throughout the whole time for the past 8 years. And yeah. The fact is that since everybody was saying, oh, he's not going to stay, oh, he wanted more money, oh, people don't want to pick him. I think that's all kind of bull crap. Because the thing is that, like, I think people knew that Pete Alonso just wanted to be a Met throughout the whole time. And yep. even anybody else who was bidding on him knew that it wasn't going to be a good look at all, because his heart was probably not going to be in it with the other teams where he's going to leave off from the Mets.
Right. They were afraid of being used. They were afraid of whatever I offer him, he's going to go back to the Mets with.
Pretty much. And it was like, oh, it's just going to be a waste of time and a waste of voice. And even if he does come to another team, it was not going to work out. Because for the fact is, I know he was aiming for that Darryl Strawberry record. And that's one of the big things. But other than the fact that he loves Queens, New York, he just pretty much shows it in his face, that it's going to be crazy, crazy, amazing atmosphere when that happens, when he's about to hit approach to 28 home runs, and people are just going to blow up the seats with that. Yeah. And why not celebrate that after, like, I think 35 years of not breaking this record? So it's just like, something to be looking forward to.
No, absolutely. It's something to look forward to. The Met fans will get behind it. The only thing is, do you know what the home run record number is?
I know he's 28 before it, right?
Yeah,
now
he's 28 short of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's going to come off as a jerk if you're a Yankee fan. You know, he's going to beat Strawberry, and we definitely will get into it, and the fans will get into it when he does it. But it's not really like a major record. It's the franchise leader in home runs. Which is cool, and you should want that. And when you have the richest owner in baseball, and you have a guy good enough to go chase that, you expect him to stay with the team. It's not like he's been awful, awful. So, listen, it worked out for everybody. I think the owner came in at the last minute and gave a little bit. And that's all Pete wanted. It's not even so much, people are human. And Pete felt like he did a lot for the organization. I guarantee you, Pete feels like he's done a lot for this team. And in the end, it might not even been the number precisely. He wanted the Mets to give. He wanted the Mets to not stand by what a lot of the Met fans were standing by. Hey, why would I bid against myself? I'm not going to give you a dollar more than I need to. Why would I? This is business. Sorry, Pete. I understand you don't like it, but this is business. Bring me an offer that someone's offering you more money than I am, and then I'll up my offer. But until then, this is it. And Pete wanted to feel a little bit like, you know what? If you wanted me, you would up this just to get me. And that might sound petty, and that might sound more of like a relationship than a business transaction, but I think that's what Pete wanted. Pete wanted just a little bit of like, hey, man, we want you. So what is it going to take? And I don't think he got that. He got like, hey, here's a fair offer. So take it. Or otherwise, you know, go find me a better one. Go find a better one, then we'll talk. Like, that's what he got, as opposed to like, hey, what is it going to take? We'll give you this. All right. What do you need? What more do you need? We'll figure it out. He didn't get that. He got, here's fair value. You don't like it? Go show me why it's not fair. Justin in Massachusetts. What's up, Justin?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, sir. What's up?
Quick. I mean, I want to get to the Yankees, but just so everybody knows, MLB Network showed this. Pete Alonso, the last four seasons, an active first baseman, he has the most home runs altogether. So he does deserve to be up there in first baseman. If you look at active first baseman, the position is not the power position it was. I'm 29 when I was 15 years old. So I'm 100% behind the deal. I think it's a great deal, and I'm glad he's back, and I know a lot of my friends are happy. But the Gleyber Torres thing is really interesting. Yeah. I'm going to create an analogy for you. The Astros are talking with Altuve about him wanting to move to left field so that they can bring Bregman back.
Right.
The reason I bring this up is you want to have a guy in the clubhouse who's about winning.
Right.
Who's about winning.
Mm-hmm.
And watching Gleyber Torres for years, to me, Gleyber Torres is more about getting paid at the end of the day. You know, the Yankees really don't have a great first base situation. They brought in Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
Look, the guy's got a great pedigree, good ball player.
Yeah.
But I think what they really could have done is they could have taken Chisholm. I probably put him at first base because he's an under-par third baseman, but he's a fantastic all-around I'd call him a 3-4 tool player. So I think you're right when you say the Yankees handled it properly.
Yeah.
But I think they had an opportunity to shop him earlier last year if they really weren't happy. I know he hit at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't think they did. What were they going
to
shop him for?
To make a move.
And get what?
He had
no value. He had no value. He hadn't had value in years. He had value at the end of last year because he had a good year last year in 2023. They could have traded him in the offseason last year. They chose not to. Then he had a miserable first half offensively, and he's a one-year contract. Nobody's looking for a guy who's gonna have to pay next year who hasn't been very good. He didn't hit until after the trade deadline. And I don't disagree with you on Gleyber Torres on some level. I don't know if it's like the idea of I've never seen a guy, you know, all he cares about is money. I think that's a bit much, and you don't know that. But a guy, you know, did he care about winning as much? I mean, I'm sure he did, but he didn't hustle at times. He was prone to these mind lapses, and then he refused to play a position. And I don't know, like, I got a tweet saying my take on the Gleyber thing is preposterous. The fact he wouldn't go there at all, maybe stick him there and see if it works. The fact he didn't is BS. I don't know what you mean. I agree that Gleyber is wrong. Gleyber should have said, okay, I'll move to third. I'm down on Gleyber for saying no. I was down on Gleyber when he said. He publicly already said this. We knew this happened. Gleyber Torres said publicly to the media, we talked about moving me to third, and I don't like it. And I don't want to do it. Like, he made it clear then. This is just, now it's from the general manager, and he's saying the word refused. Like, he made it seem like we discussed it, and I told him I'd rather not do it, and so they didn't do it. He said unwilling, I think that was the term. Like, unwilling. Like, we asked him, and he said no. So I'm on Gleyber. I just don't think you force it. If he says no, absolutely not, I'm not doing it. You're going to force him there? Again, you wanted him to be productive. He became productive. It worked. Like that, it worked. Like, Yankee fans are so, it drives me nuts. Like, to say that my take on this is preposterous. It worked. Jazz Chisholm hit and produced at third base, and then Gleyber Torres got hot and was their third best hitter in the postseason. It worked. We don't know what would have happened if they switched positions. We talk about the Yankees. It's about results. Oh, the Yankees are so in love with their process. It's about results. This is a results business. The Yankees don't care about results anymore. Well, here's results. They kept Gleyber at second. They moved Jazz to third. And both were top 10 in OPS at their position. And Gleyber got the best he's played all year. They moved him to leadoff, and he was their third most productive player in the postseason. It was Stanton, Soto, Gleyber. Their three best hitters in the postseason. I don't know if he would have done that playing third. And I don't know if he would have been better defensively than Jazz Chisholm playing third. Like, what are we talking about? You're mad that the manager didn't just say, go do it. I'm the manager. Because you think that's the way to manage. Because you don't like the idea of the players making that decision. I get it. The player didn't make the decision. The manager did. The manager decided Gleyber Torres doesn't want to do it, and I could force him and get a lesser player because I think that's Gleyber Torres' mentality. I can force him to do this, and I think it will impact him negatively, or I cannot enforce him to do this, and I'm hoping he can get hot. That's the manager's decision. And he made the right one. Gleyber became hot, and he played better, and he was great in the postseason. Even when Boone makes the right decision, we're pissed. Even when it's successful, we're not happy. It's crazy. It's crazy. It boggles my mind. Now we're pissed that Boone didn't handle it the way we wanted it. It was right. What if they forced him and Gleyber never hit? We'd be killing him. The same, and we hear it all the time about playing guys out of position. Now you want to move Gleyber Torres out of position when he's not very good defensively at his own position? You just don't like the idea that Gleyber said he won't do it and they weren't forced to do it. Okay. It worked. The manager made the right call. It's crazy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.